We're in a message series called Coming Attractions, and specifically speaking about heaven. And today's message is called Heaven's Dinner Party. You know, heaven is the promise of God to the people of God. It is for every Christian, it is your wonderful destiny, free of all the shortages and the discomforts of this life. And the eternal heaven is actually described in very earthy terminology in the Bible. And the eternal heaven is a new earth where God and his angels will dwell, live with his people, with you and me, in unhindered fellowship, unhindered community, and in unimaginable joy. The Bible says in Luke 6, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven." And even in the Old Testament, David acknowledged Psalm 16, "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore." As just a brief recap, let me just remind you that as a believer, as a Christian, when you take your last breath here, you will immediately enter the presence of God. But listen, that's not your last stop. That's a rest stop on your way to the best stop. That's what you might call lowercase heaven. It's an intermediate stop. You know that you are body and soul. When your body dies, your soul goes into the presence of the Lord, and you await the resurrection where our souls will be united with our glorified, imperishable bodies. And then comes the uppercase heaven, the eternal heaven, the new heavens and the new earth, says the Bible. Now, when the Bible describes this eternal heaven, it's not an ethereal picture. It's not wispy, not vapor-like. Heaven's not a place where you sit around in a vapor floating on a cloud waiting for eternal choir practice with nothing really significant to do. In heaven, you'll have everything to do. A God to worship, a kingdom to rule, a universe to explore, work to accomplish, and friends to enjoy. And the things that you enjoy now in some way are but appetizers and foretastes of what's to come. Sometimes people ask, "Oh, I really enjoy such and such about this world. It's not sinful, it's good, it's beautiful. Here's something I will have that in heaven." At least that. Don't worry. At least that. And more. Much, much more. The Bible says, "Eyes not seen, ear had." You can't even begin to imagine the wonders that God has for you. Now, one of the great joys in the here and now is a dinner party, a comfortable dinner party. Did you know that 87 times in the Bible, it refers to feasts in heaven? This morning we took communion. What's the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is a meal for a reason, as it symbolizes an anticipation of what we enjoy in heaven. You say, "Well, actually, Ronnie, I don't really like dinner parties. I'm an introvert. I don't necessarily like being around other people. It's a little awkward for me. I just went to a dinner party last August. I'm good to 2018. Listen, forget bad neighbors and awkward conversations. This you can know for sure. We will love God, and that means worship and adoration and communion. And we will love one another, which means fellowship and sharing space in glorified but real bodies. At least this and much, much more. Imagine fellowship with no pretense. You don't wonder what somebody's thinking about you and vice versa. No insecurities, no judgment, no arrogance, no discrimination, no communication barriers. All the beautiful diversity that God's created under the banner of Jesus. And you will love and you will be loved like never before. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Faith becomes what? Sight. Hope becomes the eternal now. But love is the greatest and it lasts forever. Heaven is the promise of God to the people of God, and it is an eternal global village of fellowship. Now, let's do a little speculation. Theologian Millard Erickson says speculation is a legitimate theological activity, as long as you're aware that we're engaging in speculation. And then you need to use a little holy imagination along the way. The Bible says that our God is so great and good that he can do above what we can even begin to imagine or think. Now, we don't want to imagine away from the truth, but to imagine based on some things that the Bible talks to us about. So today, let's imagine a dinner party in heaven, shall we? And who might be some people at one of your dinner parties? I have a few chairs up here. Let's go to the first one. I'm going to call this one the reunion chair. And this is where you engage in the Bible promise that we will enjoy an eternal global village with people that we've known and loved here. I'm looking forward to heaven more and more the older I get, because the more people I know who are already there. Sometimes people ask, will we know one another in heaven? Actually, we'll not truly know one another until we get to heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 encourages believers with this promise. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And this will be that moment when your soul and the souls of the departed, united with a new, glorified, imperishable, incorruptible body, you can read about in 1 Corinthians 15. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We shall know our loved ones. They shall know us. This is that reunion chair. Who are you looking forward to seeing again? I'm thinking of names right now. This is your new friend chair right here. You know you're going to have several new friends. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, speaking of Jesus, you are worthy. This is a scene picturing what heaven will be like. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God, get this, persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. Notice the beautiful ethnic diversity that God treasures. We'll not lose that. Revelation 7, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. How many people are going to be in heaven? A multitude no one can count. From every, get this, tribe, nation, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, meaning no more sinful nature, and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. You're going to have new friends from every nation and language and ethnicity, and ethnic diversity united under the lordship of Jesus Christ is an absolutely beautiful, beautiful thing. And as I said 2 weeks ago, let me say it again, let's not wait to heaven to embrace our diversity under the banner of the lordship of Jesus Christ. Many, many years ago, several of us started praying for increased diversity in our church, and I'm thankful for that, and let's make it happen more and more and more, but not just on paper. Let's now open our homes, open our tables, open our hearts to one another. And let me challenge you again, as I did 2 weeks ago. If you look around in your small group and everybody looks just like you, why don't you decide to make your small group look a little more heavenly, a little more heaven-like? You're going to have some new friends there. Matthew 17, suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, "Well, Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. And if you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Get this. Peter, James, and John, they had never met Moses and Elijah, but they just instantaneously knew who they were. No name tags. No introductions. They just knew. You'll know. There will be beautiful, unfettered, unhindered fellowship and relational connection. Matthew chapter 8, many will come from the east and the west, and they're going to take their places at a feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Who are some new friends you'd like to invite to dinner? Maybe Esther, Mary, Noah. Hey, tell us some stories about the ark. I bet you've got some great stories. Luke 16 even says that when you use your money well and invest in giving to causes that are near to the heart of God, you will make friends for yourself, and those friends will welcome you to heaven. There will be people who will welcome you to heaven, and they will say, "You're my friend, and you don't even know it." How? You gave to build a strong, thriving church. And did you know that my grandfather was influenced by the youth ministry at the First Colony Church of Christ? His faith was kindled and rekindled, and lo and behold, he passed that baton along to me. All right, I lived in Uganda, and through your tithes and offerings, you started over 20 churches there. And you don't know this, but I'm here because of you. You're going to have all kinds of new friends in heaven. Ah, but here's a third chair. This is a child's chair. It's a high chair. I don't know any grief or sadness deeper as the loss of a child. It is overwhelming. Maybe you lost a child through miscarriage. Maybe that child died at an early age. What will it be like to be reunited with them one day in heaven? That day is coming. Now, I have a high chair here, but listen, I don't believe that child will always be a child. I believe that God will be giving them, like us, a glorified body, fully developed and at maximum capacity to enjoy. And parents, when you get to heaven, you will know your child in their full potential. You will call them by name, and they will call you by name. Listen, your child, dear one, was created to glorify God. And sometimes we have a child, and that child lives a long time here on earth, and they glorify God here, and then they glorify God in heaven. Sometimes we have a child, and that child has a very, very short time to glorify God here. But heaven is a really good place to honor God. And your child, even now, is happier than the happiest person on earth has ever been. David, when he lost his infant son, said these words, "I will go to him. He cannot return to me, but I will go to him." So you're going to have a reunion chair in more ways than one. You're going to have a new friend chair. Then fourthly, I have here an angel chair. You believe in angels? I do. Bible says that we even entertain angels unaware. My wife has an angel story or two. I've heard various stories from you over the years, and every time I preach and teach on angels, I have people sending me emails or making a phone call or taking me aside saying, "Ronnie, I want to tell you something." And it's just been fascinating. So I'm looking forward to having an angel or two for dinner and saying, "Tell me some of those hidden stories where we were unaware, where I was unaware in my life." You know, the Bible says that angels, you know, we don't become angels. And angels are different species. But they are, here's the Bible definition, they are ministering servants. They are messengers sent, that God sends to serve his people. And you know they're envious of you? There's a funny little statement in the book of John when Peter and John run to see the empty tomb of Jesus, and it says they peer inside to see what's going on. When the Bible describes angels in the book of 1 Peter, it says they peer into our relationship with God. It's like they're amazed that God could love people like me so much, and they're amazed at this. I'm looking forward to having an angel over. Say, tell me some of those background scenes. Talk to me about spiritual warfare. What'd you do with the body of Moses when you buried him? It's an angel chair. How about this next one? It's not a chair, but it's a dog bowl. People wonder where my cat bowl is. It represents all animals. Okay, all animals. And people ask, you think there will be animals in heaven? Now remember, when the Bible's picturing the eternal heaven for us, it gives us very earthy pictures. It doesn't want you to think of wispy, ethereal, cloud-like, where you have nothing to do. You have everything to do. It's new heavens and a new earth. And when God created the original paradise, he created animals to give him glory. Read the book of Job. Read Psalm 104. Animals were created to give honor to God. Do I believe there will be animals in heaven? Yes. Kind of animals we have here? Maybe. At least that. And much, much more. At least that. And much better. But now, the Bible says something that lets me know that there will be no predatory behavior. Isaiah 11, the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the yearling together. Ronnie, you think I'll be able to pet a lion, a tiger? Hey, did you see the news this week about the tiger roaming around in Conroe, in neighborhoods? Hello. Yeah? I'm not making this stuff up. Really? Did you see this? Yeah. People ask, in heaven, will we be able to pet a tiger? Listen, in heaven and in Conroe. So, both places. This is the Jesus chair right here. What will it be like? The Bible in Revelation 22 says this beautiful phrase. We will see his face. We will see his face. In Revelation 21, when it's giving us the dimensions of heaven, it's not painting a picture of architecture. The dimensions of heaven in symbolic form are given to us where heaven is a city. It's in the shape of a cube. You say, that's an odd shape. Ah, but remember, Old Testament students, what was the shape of the Holy of Holies? Shape of a cube. Where only the high priest, and only on special days, could the high priest go into the presence of God. Heaven is one big holy of holies, where you are always in the presence of God. Unhindered, clear, robust, beautiful. He will be their God. They will be his people, says Revelation. They will see his face. Ah, but Jesus is not going to use this chair all that much. You know that, don't you? He's going to be up and about. Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve. Who will dress himself to serve? Jesus will dress himself to serve. He will have them, you and me, recline at the table, and he will come and wait on them. One seminary student asked his professor, does that say what I think it says, that Jesus is actually going to serve me? And his professor said something beautiful. He said, did you actually think there would ever be a day when you would not need Jesus to serve you? Jesus is loving and serving you now. And he loves to serve you. And did you ever think there would come a time when Jesus would not want to serve you? This chair, if I may be so bold, it's my chair. And I can never get over it. I can't believe it. I can't brag about it. My name is Ronnie Norman, and I am the chief of sinners. But only by the grace of God can I claim my own share. Only grace. Only grace. This is your chair right here. It's for you. Whosoever will may come, says Scripture. One of my challenges is that I know more people than I can spend time with. And I like more people than I can actually spend time with. We all just have so much time. We're all like Legos. We just have so many connection points. Somebody was asking me last night. My wife and I were at two different wedding functions last night. You know, so I go one way, she goes another. Somebody asked me, so Ronnie, you still playing golf? No, don't have time to play golf. Don't play golf anymore. Still ride a motorcycle? No. Don't ride a motorcycle anymore. Why? Well, I got 5 grandchildren. I'm not complaining. Do I really miss golf? Do I really miss my motorcycle? Yeah, I do. I do. But I really, really, really enjoy those grandchildren. And so yesterday morning, rather than being on a motorcycle ride, I'm at the Little League Park. I had a great time at the Little League Park. Just don't have time to do everything. And you know what? As much as I like all of you and as much as you might, we just don't have time for everything. But even though we may not get to spend that much time together, I feel close to you because of your love for Jesus, the way you honor the Lord. And in heaven, this is your chair. Your chair. What are we going to talk about? This much I know. There will be nothing untoward in terms of conversation. Nothing negative, nothing that makes you go, ooh, that's just maybe not good dinner party talk. Nothing like that. No gossip. Nothing impure will enter heaven. You will have a new nature, a new constitution. You'll be reconstituted, if you will. You'll not want to engage in anything untoward. You'll not be capable of it. What do we talk about? We'll talk about some of our adventures as well. Randy Alcorn asked questions in his book on heaven like this. He said, you think we'll be able in our new bodies to jump off of a cliff into a river 300 feet below? You think we'll be able to stand in an open field without fear of injury, with flashing lightning and roaring thunder, and experience the exhilaration of God's powerful hand? What will we talk about? We'll talk about our adventures. We'll talk about culture. You do know that all of culture gets redeemed. Think about that. All the arts get redeemed. Music, drama, theater, it's all redeemed. Russell Moore says, we can expect the new earth to be abuzz with fresh culture. Music, painting, literature, architecture, commerce, everything that expresses the creativity of people created in the image of God. C.S. Lewis, in one of his writings, said, we'll enjoy our dinner party conversations. There'll be hugs. There'll be friendly kisses. We'll tell old stories and old jokes. You have no idea how funny an old joke is when you bring it back off the shelf after 500 or 600 years. We know that our imperishable bodies will be fantastic. And we'll be able to stretch and test those limits. And for people who believe in God and who love Jesus and who hold to the promise of a bodily resurrection, we know that our good and gracious God, He delights in giving good gifts. And any good gift you can imagine, listen, it'll be at least that. And so much more. Now, today I've asked you to think about a dinner party. I'd like to show you a movie clip, video clip. I showed this, I don't know, a few years ago. I want to bring it back from a scene where someone gets welcomed home to a dinner party. And I want you to just use your holy speculation and your holy imagination and imagine this for you, maybe on day one.
This is my wife, T.
How you doing? Good looking.
I'm your cousin Eddie. My dad named me after your father. He's my brother Rex.
So dumb.
Hey, I'm your cousin Jason, man. What's up? What's up?
All right, boys, open up.
All right.
Come on, baby.
God's great goal is fellowship. And heaven is an eternal, global village. And it's not so much about where it is or what it's like, but who's there. We together will live with our great God and King. But there is something noticeably absent in heaven. You know what it is? Pride. Pride. Listen to these scriptures from Ephesians 2. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Listen to this one, Revelation 22. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And whoever's thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. And from Romans 6. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think your first conscious thought on day one in heaven will be, God, the Lamb is truly worthy. I'm not worthy to be his child, but he is worthy to be my Savior. And I think your second thought will be, this is one terrific, amazing place of grace. Now, I hope the reality of heaven will give you a sense of urgency as you share the message of salvation with others. I hope the reality of heaven will give you a spirit of resilience and stamina and strength as you endure some difficult days. And if we can help you as a church become a Christian or rekindle your walk with Christ, we want to do that. And one of the easiest steps you can take today is through that communication card. Okay? All right, everybody, let's bow and pray together. Lord God, I ask that you'll take what we have heard today, make it resonate with living hope through the touch of the Holy Spirit. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.